Okay, welcome back, everybody. Looking forward to discussing Hilchos Chanukah again. We were in the middle. We're in the middle, really just getting started with Hilchos Chanukah, specifically with respect to traveling on Chanukah. So this is a major, major deal. We want to do a lot of traveling on Chanukah, generally speaking, because, of course, there's no Isser Melacha on Chanukah. So people are largely working, and therefore they're coming home from work, and especially considering that Chanukah happens this year, as most years, happens during the winter. So there's the reality of the Zman for lighting Neres Chanukah coming before we're necessarily prepared to end our day and be firmly home. So there's a lot of travel just in terms of the normal rhythms and rigors of life. And then there are, of course, also Chanukah parties, family masibos, get-togethers, and things like that. So these questions very, very much come up. Also, potentially, this may as well be one of the few times that kids are off from school for, let's say, an extended period of time, for, let's say, an extended vacation, not really an extended vacation, but a longer weekend at the very least. So there may be an interest and a desire to travel as well. Sheva brachos, absolutely, that's right. Mazel tov, Rivki, that's true. There may be reason to travel for simchas, for family simchas, right, which also just happened to fall out at that particular time on the calendar. So there could be all kinds of reasons why you might want to travel, might want to be in a different location. What we saw last time, what we really spoke about a lot, is what happens when there's something of a split. When, let's say, man of the house, husband is, let's say, out and rest of the family is home. We spoke about how the interesting nature of Hanukkah is that it's something of a dual reality, and that there is both an aspect of needing to light for the sake of the house, but also only needing to light for the sake of the house when there are people who are occupying the house. And then it becomes the responsibility of those people to light. So what happens if you have something of a split squad where some of the family members are elsewhere, some of the family members at home? We'll get into more of that really right now. And we'll try to reflect the real halacha lemaisa as we would actually practically deal with it bizman hazeh. So let's take a look at number hey here. Mishahu be'irov v'nimtza b'bayis acher. Let's say you're in the general environs. This becomes a little bit difficult to really fully qualify. I think there's actually a ha'ara to this effect. Is it? Yeah. If you take a look, what is exactly considered to be the city? I don't know if you're able to. I don't know whether or not you can see my cursor, but yud aleph down here. We're taking a look at quotes from the Taz. Sarachin mahal gedr kishahu be'iro. What does it mean exactly when we say that a person is in his city? What constitutes one singular city? Bizman hazel. Ludugma, for example, Mishahu Shoha Bi'ir Muncie. If one finds himself in Muncie, Yitzhar Lachs or the Basel of Brooklyn, it's New York. It's not all New York City, obviously. But is it the case that Halacha necessarily identifies New York City as being one singular environs? Is it that it's simply drivable, that you can get from one location to another location? Does it demand that you go back home in order to be able to light at home? Let's say you're in Bnei Brak, would you have to go back home to Yerushalayim? Would you need to make the whatever it is, 45 minutes, hour-long trip by car in order to be able to get home? You could further consider this in the opposite direction. Cities have become so large and have become so full of the populace, even the firm populace, that it can take an enormous amount of time just to drive from one end of the city to the other end of the city. It could take you a good 30 minutes to get from one end of Lakewood to the other end of Lakewood. Not to mention Tom's here. Yeah, well, I'm going from one end of Lakewood to the other, whatever. I don't know, the other end of Jackson. Or is that all considered to be one area? Is that all considered to be one city? So it's not so clear. It's not so simple. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi to try to pin these things down. We should generally be walking in with the general rule of thumb, the general frame of mind should be we're trying to light at home, we're trying to be at home ideally. If we're really, really, really mamish, going someplace else, we're going to be someplace else for the remainder of the afternoon for this Zman Hadlaka, and we're even going to be staying overnight, and it's going to be at a real sufficient distance. So that would, generally speaking, not be considered. I was actually surprised by this tzarach in a little bit. My understanding from having spent time in yeshiva in New York City and Queens, right, that if somebody was going to be going back home, back to his house in Muncie or five towns further out of Long Island or wherever else, I don't know, New Jersey, that wouldn't be considered to still be Be'iro, and you're retreating back home, and you're not, spending the night in yeshiva, so then you would light in your home or in your parents' home in those sorts of instances. But where you're spending, you would need to spend a good amount of time in transit. So that becomes a little bit more challenging. So each situation would have to be judged on its own merits. At any rate, the basic rule of thumb is that if you're still within the city, just in somebody else's home, you really have to go back home. You have to light. You have to light at home. So this is something that we try to be conscious of, even with like Hanukkah programming for the shul, right? What time do you start? What is the right time to start? It is challenging. We want to give people the opportunity to light at home. They need to light at home. And then you don't want to leave candles alone for a half hour. So it need to extend for, let's say, that half hour after Tzeis Kochavim. And that's when you want to start your program, which gets a little bit challenging for younger kids. And, you know, only starting a program at that point, at that time. And also, let's say there's dinner involved. These are real considerations. These are real things to think through. But the overarching principle, the general rule of thumb is that if you are in the city, certainly if you're going to be within Cherry Hill, you're at a friend's house, you're getting together, you really need to go back home. What this really does do is it kind of bursts the bubble of this idea of, hey, let's get together for like, you know, family, I don't know, menorah lighting, for family candle lighting. Wouldn't that be sweet? Wouldn't that be, you know, delightful? And it would make such a wonderful photo op. Sometimes it makes sense. Sometimes I give you an example, right? Give you this is like a real life personal example. So before my in-laws moved to Cherry Hill, it would be fairly common, right, that like our whole family, at least for one of the nights of Hanukkah, would end up in Flatbush. And we would all light together. It was very picturesque and very beautiful. But the reality of having different pods of your family together in one city makes it such that, of course, you have to go back. You have to be in your own home to be able to light. So the idea of all getting together to be able to light Erev Hanukkah, that doesn't really work anymore. So for that photo op and for that picturesque moment, it doesn't really express itself. It doesn't really become manifest when everybody is all living in the same community. Everybody's living in Cherry Hill. Everybody's living in Lakewood. Everybody's living in Brooklyn. Everybody's living in Muncie or in Teaneck or whatever. So it doesn't really work. People should and must retreat back home. Now, really, the other important point to highlight here is that you need to go back home at the Shas Hadlaka, the Zman for Hadlakas Neros. There is, as we mentioned last time, there's a little bit more latitude today because of the fact that we light inside, but really, 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 you should be lighting candles at the time, at the ideal time for Zman Hadlakas Neros, which let's just assume, for argument's sake, is about Tzeis HaKochavim. So that's when we should find ourselves at home, light then, and then go elsewhere. Sometimes just having this information ahead of time makes a world of difference. My side of the family, we've been talking about, we got to get together Sunday of Hanukkah. And what that looks like is, okay, let's do like a brunch or whatever. Let's get together earlier. So this way we can get back home. You know, it's a good hour and a half drive from Teaneck back to Cherry Hill. So let's do it at an early enough time that we can get back home and we could light at least more or less at the appropriate time. Everybody will still be at Tzeis Kochavim, if not close to Tzeis Kochavim, and certainly when everybody is still wide awake to be able to be mefarsim the nace, at least to our own family members, before everybody starts to nod off. But ideally, trying to get back home really at the Tzeis Kochavim for the proper time for candlelighting. There is the reality that sometimes you could just move out of your house. If I've moved out of my house and there are no B'nai Bayis, there are no family members who are now living at home, so I'm staying overnight, I'm elsewhere for that night, then I would light along with the person who is hosting me and probably light my own Bizman Hazeh, probably light my own Neros Chanukah at their home, at somebody else's home. And that's maybe when you can capitalize on the Kodak moment of a family all lighting together. Okay, Vav. If let's say a woman knows that her husband is going to be coming back home, returning back home, Tamtin alav ar chatzos. So she should really wait for him up until chatzos, even as late as chatzos. Dal kol panim hu ikar habayis umitzva bo yoser, which is a very, very interesting statement. And this cuts to some of the peculiarities of Neros Chanukah. Are women chayev in Neros Chanukah? They are. Despite the fact that it is a mitzvah aseh shahazman grama, this is one of those situations where we say that af hein hayu ba'oso hanes, they were also included in the mitzvah. Either they were included in the mitzvah, or maybe even that a woman served as the catalyst for the mitzvah in the form of Yehudis, or the woman that we refer to as Yehudis. Whether that was actually her name or not is not so clear. It may be a kind of a fusion of two different stories. At any rate, women may have played either almost a decisive role in launching the actual Nace, or they were certainly included in the Gezeros against the Jewish people, and then they were therefore also part of the salvation. So women are included in the mitzvah as well, despite the fact that it is a time-bound positive mitzvah. Ordinarily speaking, women are exempt. Women are chayv in Eretz Chanukah. Once you say that women are chayv in Eretz Chanukah, it's an unusual thing to say that a man would be more chayev. However, there is a fairly well-established minhag that not everybody necessarily abides by, but a fairly well-established minhag that in terms of a husband and wife pair, that the husband lights and that the wife doesn't, because of the concept of ishto kagufo, that she is going to be yotze with the husband's lighting. In that sense, we do view the husband as the ikar habayas. It's funny because the woman is referred to as the keres habayas, the mainstay of that. But at any rate, for these purposes, we're accustomed to lighting in the capacity of mahadrin min hamahadrin, which means that everybody lights their own menorah. What does it look like to light mahadrin? What it looks like to light mahadrin is that there is one series of neighbors that are lit for the entirety of the mishpacha, for the entirety of the bias. Who would be lighting that? That would be the father, husband figure who would be lighting it, the man of the house. So there is something about this idea that in terms of the way that the mitzvah expresses itself in certain iterations, that the husband is viewed as the mainstay for this mitzvah, despite the fact that women are also chayev. What that means then is that if a husband is going to be returning home late, really she should wait for him. Mitzvah b'yoseir, it's considered to be to some degree more his mitzvah than her mitzvah. This may be something, I think of this along the lines as the inverse of a mitzvah like Neros Shabbos. Who's chayev in Neros Shabbos? It's just talking to my... Especially here about this. Who is chayev in Neros Shabbos? Everyone. Men and women are both chayev in Neros Shabbos. What happens, and it happens every now and again, that somehow that, you know, let's say, certainly somebody who's single, but also let's say husband and wife are not together for Shabbos. So then husband has absolutely 100% an obligation to light Neros Shabbos. Hafrash Eschala. If it happens to be the case, sometimes this is the case, if it happens to be the case, that let's say either man made a batch of dough, or if his wife did, but she's not around right now to actually perform Hafrash Eschala, he would be chayev and do Hafrash Eschala. So those are mitzvahs that are classically linked with women, and women perform them, but strictly speaking, a man is also chayev as well. He's usually yotze with the act that, let's say, his wife does. So in this instance, she would wait. Now, what's also interesting about this is that this just underscores the reality that we are not so careful necessarily about the issue of Pirsume Nisa and the mitzvah happening at precisely the correct time as much as we used to be. So we spoke before about if a man's not going to be home, he should instruct his wife, make sure you light at the right time and I'll be yotze with you. Practically speaking, we don't necessarily do so because we have a little bit more flexibility in terms of the mitzvah to say, look, really at this point, because we're lighting inside, it's truly light by a window. But because primarily we're lighting inside, that means primarily the mitzvah of Pirsume Nisa, or the aspect of Pirsume Nisa, is going to be fulfilled by the people who are actually witnessing and viewing the lights from the inside. So therefore, as long as those people are going to be around, you can fulfill Pirsume Nisa, which just means that I could potentially perform the mitzvah later than, let's say, the Gemara really discusses it, when the Pirsume Nisa was intended for the people who are on the outside. So here we're discussing the idea that if a man is going to be home very, very late, so wife will wait for her husband and then they'll light together. Many of these things have to be dealt with and have to be gauged according to real, genuine considerations of Shalom Bayis. And also chinuch, right? Does that mean, let's say, that the kids lose out on hadlakas neros because, daddy's not home? Or do you make a point of, no, okay, so mommy will light with the kids, and then when Tati comes home, so he'll light afterwards. So these are important discussions. These are important conversations. Again, so much of the whole reason for these shirim is to kind of understand what are the issues that conversations can take place well in advance of Hanukkah and get everything straightened out in a manner that will lead to harmony and shalom and tranquility and also just sheer just sheer planning and logistics. When is it that we're going to be going out on Shabbos Chanukah? If we're going away for Sunday of Chanukah, and if we're going out Shabbos Chanukah, when are we coming? Are we coming back on Matzah Shabbos? Are we Davka staying over? Are we coming? So at least to kind of have a sense and a feel, a chush for some of the major considerations here, so that we can go about having the more detailed conversations afterwards. Let's take a look at Zion. Kishemachuyev lachzor lebeiso. Let's say a person who's really obligated to come back home. You're in Cherry Hill, but you got together with another family. And wouldn't it be so nice? Our kids get along so well. Wouldn't it be like a nice thing? We did the mystery Maccabee thing, and we all got presents, and it's so beautiful and lovely. And we're all going to just light together. And then somebody whispers in your ear afterwards, you know, you're actually chayav to go back home and to light there. I mean, you're going back home. You're going to sleep there. You're really still living in your house. You really had every responsibility, every obligation to go back home and to light there. What are you doing lighting at your friend's house? Oh, right. I didn't realize. I don't know. And here we already lit, and I already had kavana that I was going to be yotze with their mitzvah. So what happens if I was really chayiv to go back home, but I, let's say, inadvertently lit elsewhere? Then yachzor v'yadlik bebeso below bracha. Once you've already made the bracha, you would not do so again, but you would go home and you would indeed be chayiv in lighting Neres Chanukah again. Ela in ken yashlo b'nei bayis sham shirotze lehotzia. Unless there are people at home who have not yet actually had Neres Chanukah, and then not only would you light, but you would even make the bracha because you're being motzi them in the mitzvah as well. So even if inadvertently you perform the mitzvah already, you would still be chayav to light Neres Chanukah again, presumably not with the bracha. Ches. Kishaba lo yachol lachzor lebeiso bizman hadlaka. Let's say husband's not able to come back for the Zman Hadlaka, and we referenced this before when we spoke about waiting all the way until Chatzos. Ela ad sha'a mi'ucheres. Let's say he's only able to make it back home at a very, very late hour. Very late hour. Shebnei Beisul Yishenim Kar. Everybody's going to be sleeping already. So then what do you do? It's one thing if I can come back home, I can make it home, and everybody's still going to be awake. So really, I was supposed to light at, 5:10. And I'm not going to make it back until late. I'm not going to be home. We're ending the day with this crazy meeting, and I have to be there for it. And I tried to weasel my way out of it, and I tried to explain to them that it was Hanukkah. And they told me, what do you mean? It's been Hanukkah already for the past 4 days. Give me a break. Now you're just pulling our leg. You absolutely must be here for this meeting. And I just could not get back home until 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, everybody's house is still hopping and bopping. Everybody's awake. Everybody's up. Wife is up. Kids are up. Everybody's still there. So wait. Wait until you're able to light together. What happens, though, if he can't get home until... We did speak about there maybe being this idea about a woman specifically lighting. So we're going to circle back to that here. But again, because of this feature of the manner in which we light Bizman HaZeh, that we light indoors, and the presuming use is primarily for the people inside, not for outside the house, but for inside the house... So we would stave off the lighting. We'd hold off on the lighting until a later point, until afterwards. So if it's at a much later time where everybody's going to be sleeping, then yitzav l'ishtal l'hadlik bizman hadlaka. So if I know that I'm not going to be back home until 10 o'clock at night, everybody will be sleeping, 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock, whatever it is, everybody's going to be sleeping. So then I would have my wife light before I get home at the proper time for the hadlaka at 5 o'clock in the evening. B'habal, then what does the husband do? Yechavin shalot lotzeis b'hadlaka. So he should have kavana not to be yotze. V'oz, and then, k'sheyach, so the beiso yachol levarech. He's able to still make the bracha. L'shita samatir levarech afkeshe b'nei b'neiso yishenim. According at least to those who hold that it would be mutter to make the bracha, even if other people are, if everybody else is already sleeping. That in of itself is not so simple. What really is supposed to be done in those instances is that you actually either wake people up, or hopefully there's somebody who can remain up. Otherwise, it's actually not so pasha. But let's assume for a moment that somebody's going to wait up. Somebody's going to be around. So then you can have everybody else light first. I have kavana that I'm not really going to be yotze, and then I come back home and I still make the bracha. How can I make the bracha if I came home and everybody lit already? The obligation is to light in the house. And they lit in the house, and I'm part of the house. So how is it that I can still make the bracha? Really, technically speaking, strictly speaking, I was already yotze with the mitzvah. So how can I still make the bracha? So the answer is as follows. Here's another reality that's kind of unusual when it comes to Neres Chanukah. Ordinarily, when we speak about, let's say, something like hiddur mitzvah, when we speak about hiddur mitzvah, what we're talking about is taking the actual object itself that's used for the mitzvah and making it nicer, making it more beautiful. You spend a little bit more you know, spend the extra few dollars and get a nicer S-robe. Not necessarily, I don't know, maybe spend the extra few hundred dollars. I'll leave that to your considerations. But, you know, spend the extra money and get nicer wine for Kiddush and get the, you know, beautiful silver becher for Kiddush and polish it and all of those kinds of situations. A beautiful talis, a nice tzitzis, and all those kinds of things. So it's unusual that the Hiddur mitzvah of Chanukah is that we're actually changing the manner in which the mitzvah is performed. It's not just the item itself, right? The item itself, so use oil instead of wax and use really nice oil, expensive oil that'll produce a very, very beautiful flame and maybe even go the extra mile in terms of getting the actual menorah, getting a beautiful menorah that houses the oil and the actual lights. So all that's part of Hiddur mitzvah. It's unusual here is that you're changing the manner in which you do the mitzvah, you perform the mitzvah. There might be something about Hiddur mitzvah and using a beautiful silver becher instead of just, I don't know, like a, you know, a plain one or a stainless steel one or whatever. But the mitzvah is performed the same way. It's the same kiddush and you raise the cup the exact same way and you fill the cup the exact same way and it holds the same amount. Hiddur mitzvah usually adds to the object that you're using, but the manner in which you perform it is the same. Here, the manner in which you perform it is different. Mahadrin means that everybody lights. Everybody lights. Now everybody's going to light. So if everybody's going to light, what that means is that everybody can make the bracha, which is really, really unusual. It's just an odd sort of thing. If you, just to frame this a little bit more, if you take Arba Minim on Sukkos, you make the bracha. And then you realize that, you know, the person standing next to you, right, maybe the following situation, right? So let's say you have a husband and a son who come home from shul, and you want to do Arba Minim. So you take your son's Arba Minim, you make the bracha, and you do the na'anuim, perform the mitzvah. And then you realize that, wait a second, my husband actually... He actually has a nicer set of Arba Minim. I should really take his. So you take his also. You certainly don't make the bracha again. You don't make a bracha when all you've done is increased the degree of Hiddur mitzvah. Here, though, you do. Here, every new person who lights, the nature of the Hiddur mitzvah of Chanukah is that rather than having one person be motzi everybody, everybody decides on their own, I'm going to be independent of that other person who would be motzi me, and I'm going to light my own. The idea that I'm lighting my own is the Hiddur. But the way that it happens is that it means that everybody's performing their own act. It's a different act. It's expanding the actual act of Neres Chanukah to a degree. And that would still necessitate a bracha. Everybody makes their own bracha. That is built into the very fabric of Neres Chanukah, the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah, that you can opt out of being yotze with somebody else's lighting, even though it's your home. You can light yourself. And when you light yourself, you would even make a bracha. So again, it's a very, very unusual mitzvah in that regard, but that's what gets done. That's what we do. So how does this apply to this case? What that means is that when the husband comes home, he could say, look, my family is going to light, but I'm just not going to be yotze with them. That's really no different from when you're all standing in the living room together at the same time. And let's say, you know, you're going to go last. So what happens when you go last? It means that all these other people have already lit the Neres Chanukah in the same room together. And you are having kavana not to be yotze with them. And now you're going to light on your own and you're going to make your own bracha on your own. So it's really no different. It's just that there's going to be a time lag in this situation as opposed to the other. Okay, take a look at Tess. Let's say he is en route. He's coming home. He's elsewhere. He doesn't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if my wife lived for me or not. He comes home and he realizes that she lit. He sees everything's out and everything's been lit already. So you'd have to make a new hadlaka. You'd have to light again, but he would do so without a bracha. Could be he was yotze already. Could be he was yotze because somebody lit on his behalf in his home and therefore really fulfilled the mitzvah. And he didn't have explicit kavana not to be yotze with them. It could be, though, that without having the explicit kavana to be yotze, that maybe he still is really chayev or could potentially be chayev and therefore he'd be chayev to light, but wouldn't make a bracha. Then the other she'ishto madlechas alav, if he knows that his wife lit for him, then kishachorz lebeso in a tzarek lahadlik od ela imrotzi yachal lahadlik below bracha. If he wants, he could light, but if he's not sure, then he should light. He doesn't really know if his wife lit for him or not, so he'd be chayev to do so in order to be yotzef. If he knows that she lit for him and he didn't specifically have Kavanah, they didn't want to be Yotze, so then he wouldn't need to light again, but he could certainly do so if he wanted to. I think that strikes me as an unusual, again, especially we spoke about this last week, because there is so much, communication that exists today. The idea that like Hadlaka would take place and there would be multiple phone calls and there'd be text messages. Where are you? Where are you holding? Are you coming back? What time are you going to be here? The kids are like chomping at the bit. We want to, should we start dinner already? Should we have dinner? Should we light first? Should we wait for you? Should we not wait late for you? Do you want to, are you going to make the latkes? Am I going to make the latkes? You'd imagine there'd be like, 1,400 text messages that go back and forth before you actually get to this point. But anyway, conceptually, but really, really the way that it would most likely be arranged is that assuming you will be home, assuming let's say man is going to be home while people are still awake, then they'd wait for him. And if not, then they would go ahead and light first, and hopefully somebody will either remain awake or say, yeah, no, don't worry, wake me up and I'll be with you when you light. Bizmanenu, this is important. Bizmanenu, bizman hazeh shaminug sheyesh l'chol echem menorah b'fnei atzmo. Everybody gets their own menorah. Everybody does mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. Everybody gets their own menorah. Bistama loy mikre madlikin alav b'soch beso. Kevan shebnei bayis yodin shalakach menorah imay. Right? If it's known that you always light your own menorah, then I'll never presume that I should be lighting for you. And it's never presumed that we did light for you. You're going to light your own, whether that means you're going to be in somebody else's house and you're going to stay over and you're going to light there. You're going to be in a hotel room and you're going to light there, or you're going to return back home and you're going to be lighting your own. Right? Unless it's known that absolutely they had kavana to be motzi him and he didn't have like any kavana to specifically avoid it. But generally speaking, that's not the case. Generally speaking, Bizmanazed, the assumption is everybody lights their own menorah. So it won't be assumed that, let's say, his family members lit for him when he's elsewhere. And it won't be assumed that they lit for him when he's planning on just coming home later. So he's basically opted out of being yotze with their hadlaka. And then whatever it is that he finds himself in a place that he's capable of lighting, whether it's at home or at the hotel or at his family, wherever it is that he's staying that night, so he would then light there. Okay, let's finish this off. Last sif. Let's say he lit someplace else. This should be obvious to us by now. This should be very, very clear. If he's going to be elsewhere, husband, father's going to be elsewhere. He lit in that other place. He's at the conference. He's at the convention for the next 2 days. And therefore, he's going to be lighting in his hotel room. He absolutely is not motzi everybody at home. They are chayav. They are chayav. Certainly his wife is chayav to light at home. Anybody above Bar Bas Mitzvah would be chayav to light at home because he is not being motzi them. The fact that he's lighting elsewhere in whatever residence he's taking up that night really has no bearing and has no impact on their obligation. Okay, Mirtza Hashem, next week, which I think is going to be the final week before Hanukkah, really. So we'll deal with some more practical measures of the actual act of traveling while it's Hanukkah, and some of the confusion. I don't necessarily know where I'm going to be. I don't know if I'm going to arrive at home. And also some, hopefully we get to it, some really unusual situations. What about actually lighting en route? What about lighting en route, like while I'm road tripping or while I'm really traveling, while I'm taking a very, very long trip? Some really interesting scenarios that may strike us as somewhat odd, but are very, very much discussed in postgame. Lighting on a train, lighting on a plane. Are these things, is there any merit? And is there anything to be said for these kinds of practices? Okay, so let us call it here. Anybody have any questions before we log off?
I have a question about the Mahadran, Min HaMahadran lighting. You mentioned that in passing. I guess in my family, Avi grew up without any sisters, so he doesn't really know what his family's minhag is. But in my family, the single girls, once they were, I don't know, 7 or 8 or whatever, didn't light anymore. Is it better for single girls to light? Because you mentioned that the woman doesn't light because ishto kagufo.
Right. Right. There are different minhagim. There is significant credence to that practice, despite the fact that you're right, ishto kagufo shouldn't really apply. It seems mm-hmm. like it's more of almost training for the fact that, right, at some point we presume mm-hmm. marry and therefore not. So mm-hmm. both are true, at least in the postgame. There's absolute backing to the idea of even younger girls not lighting. But the svara that's given as to why a woman wouldn't light is because of ishto kagufo. So, meaning that situation sort of slips through the wickets as far as being able to explain very, very clearly why it is that mm-hmm. they wouldn't light, but there absolutely is legitimacy. So I can't tell you which one is better and which one is worse.
Got it. So you're saying it's either one has backing to it, and it's only done according to the minhag.
Has merit, right.
Okay. So this is how we've always done it. I mean, we've always done it this way because that's what we did,
It's something of a curiosity that if mm-hmm. the reason is ishto kagufos, that only applies once you're married, so then that shouldn't really apply to single girl who's over bas mitzvah.
Right.
But,
right. Okay, thank you.
Sure, 100%. Okay, excellent, everyone. Okay, so Mr. Shem, let's pick it up next week, and we'll be well on our way to being prepared for Hanukkah. Thanks for taking the time, everyone.
Thank you.